Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I feel it. I feel the energy. I feel the adrenaline. Wow. A football weekend to die for. All right, that's melodramatic, but you know what I mean. This is what we've waited for. And my goodness, the headlines were already dropping and social media already buzzing before the first games ever kicked off on Sunday. To say nothing of what happened on Friday in Brazil. But now that that's 48 hours ago, we'll focus on Sunday. Even college football taking a bit of a backseat when it comes to NFL Sundays. And this was our first. Everything from a Dak Prescott landmark deal and the first $60 million a year quarterback in the NFL. That deal dropping 90 minutes before the initial games kicked off on Sunday. 4 years, $240 million. But did you catch the guaranteed number? $231 million is $1 million more than Deshaun Watson, the quarterback on the other side of the field, for their clash on Sunday. Clearly, a sticking point for Dak's camp. His agent wanting to make sure that Dak had the most guaranteed money in history. And honestly, if you're comparing their careers, I know Dak had the one season with the brutal leg injuries. But if you're comparing Dak Prescott to Deshaun Watson, if I'm an agent repping an NFL quarterback, I compare every single one of my agents, or excuse me, my clients, to Deshaun Watson, who's getting previously unprecedented money and honestly hasn't done a whole lot since he joined the Browns. More on that coming up. So it starts with Dak's contract, and the news drops 90 minutes before kickoff of the earlier games. Right on the heels of that, we find out Russell Wilson will not start for Pittsburgh. Instead, Justin Fields will go because Russ is still dealing with that calf issue that popped up over the weekend again. Then we hear that Tyreek Hill has been detained and even handcuffed on the ground. There's video. It's jarring. Very close to Hard Rock Stadium. Minutes before he was supposed to arrive on site to prep for Dolphins and Jaguars, we find out that multiple teammates saw what was happening. Also on their way to the stadium, they pull over to try to offer support. And the late report on Sunday that Calais Campbell also got handcuffed. You'll hear from Tyreek Hill before this hour is done. But that was where the Dolphins started. And then got behind the Jaguars. And Tyreek Hill pivotal in their rally for a win. We had Tom Brady's debut in the broadcast booth to widespread criticism, I would say. But here's the thing. Since I'm one of the few broadcasters who are part of After Hours, there may be a few more broadcasters listening right now. So I don't want to say I'm the only one who's ever been in a broadcast booth, because that would probably be inaccurate. But as someone who has made her career for 25 years in radio and TV, I'll tell you why it wasn't that bad. And for God's sakes, it's Tom Brady. When have you ever known the man not to attack a challenge and want to be improving weekly? Trust me, it's going to get better. There's going to be a better rhythm and flow with Kevin Burkhardt. Brady will be less nervous. If you have an experienced ear, you could tell he was nervous, which is interesting, but it's a completely new arena for him. What we need from Tom Brady, he will be able to deliver. And so I'll tell you why it's actually a good start for Tom and Kevin Burkhardt as the veteran broadcaster in the room. Maybe you can take my word for it. And then we'll see how he does. All of that, plus a full slate of games, week one. I started my Sunday in Dallas after a late night wedding, Saturday night wedding. We were back to the Airbnb around midnight Central Time. My poor husband had to wake up and get me to the airport by 6 a.m., and so there wasn't a whole lot of sleep. I felt worse for him, though. He never did get back to sleep. I hopped on a flight. I was back in the New York City area, picked up the dog from the dog sitter, home just in time to grab some leftovers and then settle in for a long day. But I'm telling you, I'm fueled by football and adrenaline and excitement, enthusiasm for what's to come. So we're going to dive into the full slate. That's our promise to you on a Sunday night. It's producer Pete's first time with us on an NFL Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, 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 go. By the end of the 4 hours, it feels like it's been 4 minutes. And we probably still haven't gotten to everything. We're going to dive into Sunday Night Football here momentarily. Lions hosting the Rams. But I want to let you know that Dan Miller, longtime play-by-play voice of the Lions radio network, going back, of course, to the Matthew Stafford days, he will join us fresh off the win. I think I saw on his social media that he was drinking a celebratory beverage. Good for Dan. He's a professional. He'll join us in just under 15 minutes here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me. I actually do a lot more tweeting on NFL Sundays than I do any other day of the year. And it's because it helps me to remember what I was thinking, what I saw in the moment that I saw it. Otherwise, it would all get mixed up in my spaghetti plate brain. I have green, the color of money, green 5x7 note cards today, and they are covered with my handwriting because I do handwritten notes. I don't use a computer. I don't have a device or a phone. But when I'm taking my notes, I do. But I write everything down because writing it helps me remember, and tweeting it helps me remember because it was a lot. It's always a lot on NFL Sundays. NFL Sundays are extra. Let's just be fair. So I'd love for you to connect with me at A-Law Radio. And then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The Lions, inches, minutes, a few heart palpitations away from the Super Bowl earlier this year. Following last season, sky-high expectations. And starting off with a familiar face in Matthew Stafford, who now has his own Super Bowl ring, Of course, you're not going to get any brouhaha or any drama with Jared Goff because he's been paid now. He's one of the NFL's priciest quarterbacks at $55 million per year. And so it's a clash of these two teams that met in the playoffs on Detroit's way to the NFC Championship. And the Lions start out with a healthy lead. It's interesting, too, to see the wealth of options for the Lions. When was the last time, prior to this current iteration under Dan Campbell, that you remember them having so many offensive weapons? But they do. They've got a run game, clearly, and they're comfortable using it behind that solid offensive line. But they've also got a lot of options through the air for Jared Goff.
Goff's got it back and looking on third down. Goff looking, throws deep downfield, wants Jamo inside the 20. Got it, 10, 5, end zone. Yes, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Jamison Williams, like a lightning bolt from Jared Goff, 52 yards.
Detroit was up 17-3 early in the third quarter after a pair of extended first half scoring drives and some really tough defense, which is the formula under Dan Campbell. That's the identity. That defense included an interception of Matthew Stafford in the red zone, plus a fourth down stop. Unfortunately for the Rams, they lost Puka Nacua to an injury at that point, so late first half, hoping to hear something positive that will come out of that. But starting the third quarter then, piling on with that Jamison Williams 52-yard touchdown reception, the call with Dan Miller on the Lions Radio Network. Williams, the feature target for Jared Goff on this Sunday night. Five catches, 121 yards, and a score. He's a third-year guy out of Bama. He's now considered a veteran and should be reliable for Goff this season. But L.A. rallies with three straight drives of its own because, you know, Matthew Stafford is completely comfortable in this setting, on this field, with these fans who still do really respect him. And they got a little help from Jared Goff.
Running back slides in motion at the snap. Goff has to hitch, reload, throw middle. It's picked! It's intercepted! Taken away at the 20!
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a play in the middle of this Rams defense. A fight for the football is won by L.A. John Johnson comes out of the pile with the pick.
That's the call on the Rams Radio Network with Matt Smith. No, J.B. Long. J.B. Long. I got to get my voices back. Dang, there goes the perfect show. After that Goff interception, Stafford is 8-for-8 on the ensuing drive. And if you have not seen the Cooper Kupp toe drag sideline catch for 20 yards, maybe we should share it on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. It was delicious. I could watch it over and over again. So without Nacua, it's almost a flashback to a couple years ago where Cooper Kupp was carrying so much of the load for Matthew Stafford in the passing offense. And that wasn't it.
Play action, throw to the flat, Kupp at the six, Kupp to the pylon, touchdown Cooper Kupp, touchdown LA, 9-and-dime with a clutch direct deposit, a 19-17 lead with 4.5 to go.
That 9-yard touchdown puts the Rams in front, a bit of a stunner. The Lions go from being up 2 touchdowns to trailing by a field goal. Though, Detroit is able to get that ball back, work its way downfield, and get in position with just a few seconds left to force. Are we really talking about overtime on the first Sunday night of the season?
Patton to snap. Fox to hold. There it is. Spot down. Kick on the way. It is up, and it is good. He got it. Drilled it through there.
Nice.
With 17 seconds remaining, it is the Rams 20 and the Lions 20.
It's fitting, isn't it? On our first Sunday, our very first one of the NFL season. The day starts 12 hours before it. Before this overtime, we've got Dak's record contract and Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins. And all the way through the drama of a full slate, only to require overtime and a wild rally by the Lions. So we're really excited to talk to Dan Miller. Well, he'll join us following this first break. But there was still business to attend to as the Lions go away from the passing attack and go heavy run on their first possession in overtime. In fact, 7 of the 8 snaps are rushing attempts.
Goff takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, yes. End zone, touchdown, yes. Detroit Lions.
Yes.
This game is yes. Over. Pack it up, boys. We're going home. This an opening night victory for the Lions. They come from behind in the final minute and tie it. They take the ball in overtime and march 70 yards down the field and win it.
Once again, Dan Miller and company on Lions Radio as they start out 1-0 and never a dull moment with the Lions, right? 7 run plays on that walk-off drive and 163 total rushing yards. It's David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs who do the heavy lifting on the final drive, and Montgomery who gets in from a yard out to wrap it up.
But I plan to have a lot more, you know. Nothing against them. I was in the mold, though. I was already locked in at that point where, you know, feel like I had to prove myself to myself. You know, I feel like that was the greatest opportunity for it to happen.
Man, it's inevitable. It's every year, and it really is. It's, you know, first game, and the ones that can just play basic football the best, man. The, you know, the blocking, the tackling, targeting, communication, taking care of the football, being smart with it, the check down. It's they win.
Dan Campbell. He's going to be one of our favorites in 2024, no doubt. So a real balance between the pass and the run. Actually, more rushing attempts for the Lions than pass. When was the last time you could say that was an option? For years, Detroit has not had a reliable run game. It's been spotty. They've had talented guys, just not a great O-line and not a commitment to that smash-mouth effort, that smash-mouth approach if they need it. And yeah, they start out 1-0, but like every team, there's a whole lot of ways that they can get better.
You know it's not going to be perfect. You just want it to be cleaner. You just want it to be cleaner than it was. That's all, even for the first game. But ultimately, it's always going to be about we got to get better. And whether we won or lost today, we got to get better. And we won, we still have to get better. And we'll clean all this up, and then we got to play better against Tampa next week.
I kind of feel like that would be perfect for the Applebee's kitchen, that inspirational post-game approach.
Cover your mouth.
Dan Campbell will join us from Detroit coming up. It's not just the Lions who win. Oh, did I say Dan Campbell? Yeah, that'd be nice, actually.
And you also labeled it in our system as Dan Campbell.
Did I?
Yes.
Dan Miller will join us. Oh, goodness. That'd be funny. Okay, you know what? That's After Hours Goals. Hashtag squad goals for us here on the show. Dan Miller will join us following the win in Detroit. And it's not just the Lions with the victory in the NFC North, but 3 of the 4 teams win this weekend. Only the Packers, who lose to the Eagles in Brazil, do not come away with a dub. We are off and running. Can't wait to hear from you. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio and also on our Facebook page. Hope you enjoyed your weekend and the football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gone. Takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, yes. End zone, touchdown,
yes. Detroit Lions.
Yes. This game is yes. Over. Pack it up, boys. We're going home. This an opening night victory for the Lions. They come from behind in the final minute and tie it. They take the ball in overtime and march 70 yards down the field and win it.
It does feel a little bit like week one last year where it's like, yeah, we kind of like we're making some mistakes, but we're able to get the win anyways. And for it to be in overtime, it is special. And one, I think, you know, months from now, we'll look back and be happy we have.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dan Miller with the final call of Sunday Night Football. Final couple seconds of a jam-packed NFL Week 1 until we get to Monday night. We'll see about Jets and Niners. Jared Goff goes 18 of 28 for 217 yards, one touchdown, one pick. You hear him talk about grinding it out to get the win. Well, on that final touchdown drive, he only has to hand off 7 run plays of the 8 snaps in overtime before the Lions get the win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Also, our Facebook page. But right now, pleased to welcome the longtime radio voice of the Lions, as well as Fox 2 sports anchor in Detroit, Dan Miller, is joining us. Dan, when was the last time these Lions had such a commitment and the ability to run the ball?
I mean, it just goes to who they are. I mean, they believe they have the best offensive line in football. And when it got down to that, you know, moment late in the game, they just exerted their will. And they have such trust in those 5 guys up front, and such trust in David Montgomery, and such trust in Jahmyr Gibbs. And, you know, I think Ben Johnson just said, you know what, boys, we're going to put the hammer down and we're going to just see where it takes us. And you know what? That's a really good team they beat tonight, so no disrespect. But in the end, L.A. just couldn't find a way to stop that running game. And if you don't stop it and they're getting chunks, it's going to be a problem.
Is this what Dan Campbell wants, a balance between run and pass? But in this game, actually more run plays than using Jared Goff's arm?
I think he wants whatever it takes. I mean, if you look at tonight's game, it wasn't a huge night for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's one of the best players in the league. Wasn't a huge night for Sam Laporta, who's one of the best players in the league. But you know what? It was J-Mo's night to make some catches and make some plays and get things done. Dan Campbell will win any way he has to win. And I think they believe they have so many different weapons on this team that you can pick your poison and take something away, but they're going to figure it out. And that's also the power of Ben Johnson and his ability to call a game.
The Lions have a 17-3 lead after that Jameson Williams touchdown, early in the third quarter. And then the Rams come roaring back, and it's Detroit who has to rally. What happened there in the second half?
Let's start with giving the Rams credit. They don't have that Hall of Famer in the middle of that defensive line anymore, Aaron Donald. But they were already starting to bring some young guys up last year, and now you got those top 2 draft picks that are playing as well. But look, I'm glad to catch that defense in Week 1. I think those young guys are just going to keep getting better. That's going to be a team people are going to have to deal with later this year. So, I mean, give them credit. And then I think the Lions just kind of made some mistakes in there. Goff threw the interception he'd probably like to have back on the pass to Amon-Ra. So it's just one of those cases where you made some plays and got up. Another really good team made some plays and took the lead. But in the end, Amy, you just got to figure out a way to get it done. And what you do in this league and that I've always believed is find a way, win, go back on Monday, look at the tape and figure out what you did wrong and try to make it right. But it's a lot better to wake up in the morning when you found a way to get it done than when you're on the wrong side of it. And it's the hard truth about this league. It's not always perfect. It's not always pretty. But it's the team that kind of finds a way to make one more play. And that's what Dan Campbell said afterwards. They made one more play than the Rams did.
Well, and it kind of feels like that's part of the identity under Dan Campbell, right? Doesn't care about the aesthetics of it or whether or not it's beautiful. Just cares about the grit and the guts and the W's.
His line is to his guys, we're built for this. That's what he says. We're built for this. And that means the tough times. That means the grit. That means just figuring it out. And look, it's a hard league to win in, man. Look at some of those games today and just the teams that won and what they had to endure and figure it out. Look at the Bears did, just figuring out a way to get it done with special teams and defense. And, you know, Minnesota taking all the lumps they've taken and Addison going out, and they find a way to do it. It's just, that's what this league is. And most of these games, it seems like you're at some point in the fourth quarter going to be a 1-score game. And you just got to find a way to tilt that thing towards your side at the end of it. And that's what they did tonight. And Dan Campbell is, his biggest strength in my mind is his ability to set the tone for a team and get them ready to play. And his ability to just have his team ready to handle whatever it is, good, bad, indifferent. And I think one of the best examples of that is they have not lost 2 games in a row since October of 2022. And that's hard to do in this league, but that's Dan Campbell. constantly getting them to bounce back, constantly getting them to try to figure things out when things get down. Don't let one play beat you twice. And they did that tonight. They made some plays they'll want to correct, but in the end, they didn't get down and they didn't let that define them in this game.
Always good to catch up with Dan Miller, the longtime Lions radio play-by-play voice, following the overtime walk-off win on Sunday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So you think Dan Campbell's ability to coach football is just slightly more impressive than his ability to act in Applebee's commercials?
You know what? He's pretty darn good, isn't he? Look, I have to do multiple things with him between TV and radio. And what I would say you see in that Applebee's commercial is just who he is, because it starts with this. Regardless of his ability to coach a football team and to turn this thing around in Detroit, he's a good person. He's a good guy. He's got a good heart. He treats people the right way. And it doesn't matter if you're drinking a beer in the corner or you're talking to him at a press conference or you're talking to him off to the side, you know, just kind of shooting the bull. He's the same guy. And I think players appreciate that consistency. And, you know, I think you just see his kind of his nature in that commercial. That's who he is. There was a time when all the film credits were in Detroit and people were doing all the movies in Michigan, and everybody in the media got asked to audition for a couple. I did. I was so bad. I'm sure they passed it around as like a joke. So I give him full credit for being able to sell that thing and be good. Because I'm telling you, when that camera comes on and you're asked to put on a show or be somebody else or act, it's hard to do. So I think he did a heck of a job, man. It's a funny commercial.
It is, actually. And the one where he's trying to inspire the kitchen just kind of made me think, like, man, he can stand in front of a bunch of tough football players and get them to be on the same page and want to work their rear ends off. Of course it will work at Applebee's.
And credit the people that put the commercials together. They knew how to bring that out of him. But you know what? I go back to, and I'm sure most people have seen it, that scene in Hard Knocks where he's got his team gathered around him on the field and he's telling them, basically apologizing him for making them go full speed and hit each other. But he's just telling them, I'm doing this for you. I am doing this for you. I know it sucks. I know it's hard. But I promise you I'm doing it for you. And all I do is think about you guys. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in pro sports and coaches and relationships with players, and I don't know if I've ever seen a better one than he's got, but it's just because he's real. No, everybody knows where they stand, and he doesn't waver. He just is who he is.
Dan Miller is with us from Detroit following Sunday Night Football, and I saw on your social media earlier in the afternoon that Lions fans were already lined up. They were ready to go. What has the atmosphere in Detroit been like this offseason coming off of last year's NFC Championship game?
Yeah, I mean, I think you almost have to go back to last year in the playoffs when we played the Rams and won a playoff game for the first time in 32 years. It was like nothing I've ever seen at an event. I mean, I've been blessed enough to cover a lot of big events and do things, but the electricity you felt in that stadium 2 hours before that playoff began last year, and it was packed 2 hours before the game, was just something else. And look, these fans they've taken a ton of gut punches over the years, and they've done everything to show this team they believe in them. They've come back after, you know, the worst of heartbreak and they just keep coming back, and now they're being rewarded. They love it. This team's doing it the right way. Nothing's going to be easy. It'll be difficult next week. They're not guaranteed anything. But it's fun to see these fans get some payoff for all the years that they've invested in this team and not really gotten it back, and now they are getting it back. And I've said it a million times, and I'll say it again, the best part of my job is seeing fans happy, and it's been a heck of a ride here. Really, since those guys got here and started turning this thing around.
So tell me, Dan, are fans actually going to make that leap and dare to dream?
Oh, I think I think it's beyond dreaming. Look, this is a really good football team. This is a Super Bowl caliber football team. Now, you got to earn that. There's 154 days between now and the Super Bowl. And you're going to have to play your butt off every single one of those days, preparing and doing it on the field and doing all those things. But I don't think it's outlandish if you're a Lions fan to say that your goal is a Super Bowl. As long as you understand everything that can happen along the way to let that slip away, they're good enough. and it should be their goal, and it is a realistic goal, but there's a whole lot that's got to happen between now and then. But for the first time ever, really, you can be a Lions fan and say that and not have somebody laugh at you and tell you, you know, if you're crazy.
I'm impressed that you know how many days there are until the Super Bowl. I confess that I have not counted those.
It was part of my old tonight in my play, so I did put it in the little calendar thing online, how many days between today and Super Bowl, and it was 154.
Fantastic. So you worked a lot of years when Matthew Stafford was the quarterback. He got his Super Bowl ring at 36 years old. He throws the ball 49 times in a season opener. How good is it to see him back knowing the success that he's had?
Matthew's a great player, and he is the ultimate professional. And I will say the same thing I did with Campbell. I was lucky in that I got to work a lot with Matthew and had to do a lot in my roles in TV and radio. And you're not going to find a bigger pro or somebody that just, you know, does exactly what they're supposed to do. You know, I used to do every Monday with Matthew during the season, and he'd say, I'll see you at 12:30. He showed up at 12:32. He'd apologize. I mean, that's just who he is. So ultimate respect for him. And I guarantee you, look, he's been booed the two times that he's been back here. There's nobody in that stadium that dislikes Matthew Stafford. Everybody appreciates what he did here, and they know what he did here and how hard he fought here and what he fought through here. And they didn't have this type of team around Matthew Stafford when he was the quarterback here. He's a heck of a competitor. He's a heck of a player. And I did not want to see him get that football in overtime. Look, I think we have a good defense. I believe in this defense. But I also know how dangerous he can be. So it was a good thing to win that toss and just get it and go. But look, I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's a great player. He's still a great player at this age, and he's going to give a lot of people a lot of headaches this year with that team.
Dan, you mentioned it earlier, but the NFC North has a Vikings win, a Bears win in Caleb Williams' debut, though it's more about the defense and the special teams, and now the Lions' victory in overtime. So only the Packers in that trip to Brazil end up with the loss, though a sigh of relief over Jordan Love's status. What's your perspective on the North coming into 24?
It's going to be brutal. It was better than people thought it was last year, and it's going to be just a battle for survival all year long. Green Bay's really good. In a lot of people's minds, they're Super Bowl capable. Chicago, that defense is good. It was good last year. It's really good this year. They've surrounded Williams with weapons. He's going to get better. That looked like a rookie quarterback out there today, but he's got a world of talent. They're going to get better. And anytime you got to play Minnesota, look, Sam Darnold played great today. Anytime you got to play against Justin Jefferson and Addison, if he's healthy, and Hawkinson, if he's healthy, and them getting the running back from Green Bay, which I would have rather seen him leave the division, but he didn't do that. Just wants to torture us some more. There's going to be no picnics in this division. It's going to take 12, 13 wins to win it. And one of these teams is going to do that. But look, we lost to the Packers last year. We lost to the Bears last year. Every single week, trying to win, hoping you can get some help when they lose, and then hoping you can handle your business when you play somebody in the division.
Big dreams in Detroit, which is a lot of fun. At Dan Miller, Fox 2, so longtime sportscaster, longtime radio voice of the Lions. In fact, how many years, Dan?
This is 20.
Oh, what a cool anniversary. Well, congratulations on that, and thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Anytime, Amy. Appreciate you.
Dan Miller, not Dan Campbell, but Dan Miller talking about Dan Campbell, and he's awesome. Love his calls. And I could say this about a lot of the play-by-play teams in the NFL. They have big voices. Many of them have years of experience. And so he's one of the best, but it doesn't mean we don't have a bazillion other great announcers, so don't at me. But Dan has a great personality, too, and I always enjoy picking his brain about the Lions, especially right now when they are one of the premier teams, in the NFL. At A-Law Radio, if you want to weigh in. Now, coming up, you're going to hear from Tyreek Hill, his comments after the Dolphins rally for the victory over the Jaguars. And, of course, hours after he is detained by police near the stadium following what they've termed a traffic incident. Reckless driving, I heard reported. But his perspective as some of his teammates stopped to show support, and then he has to head to the stadium and play a game. By the way, the officer who put him in handcuffs has been placed on paid administrative leave. So for now, he's suspended. He's on paid leave until they can figure out what happened. So Tyreek Hill's reaction, of course, Dolphins and Jaguars. Also in the AFC East, the Patriots get a victory over the hapless Bengals. And that ousts me from Survivor Island, of course. Of course it was going to happen. Oh, Pete and I are both out, which means we can focus on the task at hand.
That's right.
The Bills, it looked like they were going to end up in the same place as the Bengals with a loss on opening weekend. Once the Cardinals came out of the gate hot and Kyler Murray looked like Kyler of old, but the Bills were able to rally as well. A lot to get to. Dak Prescott, the Cowboys, the Browns at the top of the hour. And how early is too early to be booing your team mercilessly? We'll explore. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football. The Lions beat the Rams in overtime 26-20. David Montgomery with the game-winning one-yard touchdown run. The Cowboys beat the Browns 33-17. Before the game, the Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott agree on a four-year, $240 million contract extension that makes him the highest-paid player in NFL history.
I've told you guys before, I don't play for the money. I think when you focus and you control what you can control, things like that just happen. I found out probably an hour, probably 20 minutes before was, publicized to everybody else.
The new deal locks him up through the 2028 season. Elsewhere on the Week 1 scoreboard, Bucks over the Commanders 37-20, Seahawks 26, Broncos 20, the Dolphins over the Jaguars 20-17 on Jason Sanders' 52-yard field goal with no time left. Saints over the Panthers 47-10, Vikings 28, Giants 6, Chargers over the Raiders 22-10, Texans 29, Colts 27, Patriots over the Bengals 16-10, Bears 24, Titans 17, the Bills over the Cardinals 34-28. The Steelers beat the Falcons 18-10 on 6 field goals from Chris Boswell. Baseball, Diamondbacks over the Astros 12-6, Giants 7, Padres 6, Dodgers over the Guardians 4-0. In 11, Braves 4, Blue Jays 3, Reds over the Mets 3-1, White Sox 7, Red Sox 2, Mariners beat the Cardinals 10-4, Tigers 9, A's 1, Rays beat the Orioles 2-0, Cubs 2, Yankees 1, Rangers beat the Angels 7-4, it was the Rockies over the Brewers 4-1, Royals 2, Twins 0, Marlins over the Phillies 10-1, the Pirates beat the Nationals 7-3. U.S. Open men's final, top seed Jannik Sinner wins his first career U.S. Open and second career Grand Slam title. He beat number 12 seed Taylor Fritz 6-3, 6-4, and 7-5. I'm Peter Schwartz.
My girth is rather large.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Take Tua back to throw. Wants a deep one. Downfield. He's got Tyreek. Tyreek at the 40, 35, 39. Down the sideline. He goes. Touchdown, Miami.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Dolphins Radio Network, that was a couple hours after Tyreek Hill makes headlines for a different reason. According to authorities, he was pulled over for a traffic incident. Reckless driving was the accusation, and he was really close to the stadium at that point. Again, according to authorities and the early reports, he got into a verbal altercation with an officer. These are according to reports. And when he did so, the officer and the police that were there had him lay down on the ground and put him in handcuffs. He was then released and was able to get to the stadium and play, as you hear on Dolphins Radio. Later, the report that Calais Campbell was also put in handcuffs when he stopped to find out what was going on with Tyreek, to stand up for his teammate, help him out. And he wasn't the only one. There were other Dolphins who stopped by as well. I'm sure we will hear more, but the Dolphins did have a game to play. What we know is that the officer, for now, has been put on a paid suspension, paid leave. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me online at A-Law Radio. Now, we're working on our first Monday MVP poll of this NFL season. All right, so coming up in the next couple hours, maybe sooner rather than later, we'll have that poll up for you on our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours. We'll also put the spot up on our Facebook page. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. So glad you enjoyed the conversation with Dan Miller. So once the Dolphins got underway, it was a bit of a slow start. And Jacksonville was on the board first. A 96-yard drive, a Travis Etienne touchdown run, assisted by a 40-yard defensive pass interference call against, I think it was Jalen Ramsey, actually, that was not quite half the yardage on that drive, but pretty darn close. Miami was going for it on fourth down, wasn't able to get that punch. And so Trevor Lawrence of the Jaguars, using a short field, getting to Brian Thomas for a touchdown catch. And then in the second half, as the Jaguars are going in for the kill, so to speak, Etienne fumbles at the 3-yard line. It goes through the end zone. Miami able to recover it in the back of the end zone. And it's a touchback for the Dolphins. And that really is the turning point in this game, in this comeback for Miami. Then, immediately after the Etienne fumble and the touchback, Tua finds Tyreek Hill deep up the left side, and Tyreek with the afterburners. I don't know whether or not he could beat Noah Lyles in a foot race, but I do know that he was able to burn past the defense before they could get an angle to tackle him or shove him out of bounds. So he goes 80 yards up the sideline, and it's 17-14. And again, that was the turning point that sparked the Dolphins. After a missed field goal early in the fourth quarter, Miami gets the ball back and goes 7 minutes with the football, right? So it's not just a pass happy attack, but 7 minutes with the football, 12 plays to be able to set up the game tying kick with about 4.5 minutes to go. And then significantly, the defense is able to force a 3-and-out. I don't think it was a microcosm for the Jaguars season last year, but remember how they finished up 1-5 at the end of the season when they had the AFC South in their grasp. So yeah, they start hot. They fizzle at the end. Miami defense forces a 3-and-out. The Dolphins work the clock. They get a pair of first downs and they get into position for a game winning kick.
Now they're set. Ferguson, the long snapper. Bailey, the holder. Sanders. They swing that right leg. Hold is down. Kick is up. And the Miami Dolphins have won this football game 20-17 over the Jaguars.
What a comeback. What a comeback for the Miami Dolphins.
That's the final call on Dolphins radio. Tua, 338 yards and a touchdown, the one that goes to Hill. He has 7 catches for 130 yards and a score, but everyone wanted to talk to him about the incident before the game.
Everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know. So I want to be able to, you know, use this platform, you know, to figure out a way to, like, flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and, you know, do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro. What if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? Lord knows, like, what that guy or guys would have did, you feel me? And I was just making sure that, you know, I was doing what my uncle always told me to do whenever you're in a situation like that. Just listen. Put your hands on the steering wheel. Just listen. So, got to be careful, man.
What if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? He asked that question after the game. And reporters continued to ask, well, why did you get handcuffed, though?
I have no idea, for real. No idea. No idea, man. It's crazy. No idea. It wasn't disrespectful, you know, because my mom didn't raise me that way. Didn't cuss. Didn't do none of that. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, man.
So Tyreek Hill attempting to give his perspective without saying too much. He was also asked on the field by the NFL and CBS what happened, and he said he didn't want to go into it. He wanted to put the whole thing behind him. He did express his gratitude for the teammates who showed up, who stopped and checked on him and said, "This is why we have a damn good team." So he was allegedly pulled over for speeding and reckless driving, and this was about 3 hours before the game kicked off. And then, according to police, a verbal altercation. But that officer has now been put on paid leave. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.